If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
President Trump on Friday fired the intelligence community's inspector general, who first alerted Congress to the complaint that led to the impeachment hearings. And I have to say, in the midst of all the horrifying news lately, it's refreshing to hear about some nice, normal, old-fashioned corruption.
Recorded from locations that are not 30 Rockefeller Plaza, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Senator Kamala Harris. But first, a closer look.
Public health officials are urging Americans to continue observing social distancing rules, even as the president and his son-in-law contradict those experts and spread dangerous misinformation. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Well, we're less than a week into the month of April. There's really no way of knowing what day it is. Every day is a week and every week is a year. And now April just means, Tuesday. The calendar app on my phone is just a shrug emoji holding a glass of wine. But if it is, in fact, April, then that's great news. Because if you remember, when public health officials were first warning about the coming outbreak of the coronavirus, the president reassured us all by saying this.
The virus, they're working hard. Looks like by April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away. I hope that's true.
Now, the virus that we're talking about having to do, you know, a lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat, as the heat comes in. Typically, that will go away in April. We're in great shape, though.
President Xi, I know you spoke to him recently about coronavirus. Some concerns that their economy is really going to tank because of this, and that could have a spillover effect here. What's your sense of their transparency right now, whether they're being more accommodating in terms of telling us what's going on and how it affects our economy?
Well, I think China is very, you know, professionally run in the sense that they have everything under control. I really believe they are going to have it under control fairly soon. You know, in April, supposedly, it dies with a hotter weather, and that's a beautiful date to look forward to.
First of all, you can tell my man spends too much time at Mar-a-Lago because he thinks April is when it gets hot. In February, the trees begin to bloom, and by April, I mean, you can barely touch your steering wheel. But yes, it's a beautiful date to look forward to. I remember when we all got that lovely save the date in the mail. By the way, the anchor who conducted that last interview was since-fired Fox Business host Trish Regan, who called coronavirus an impeachment scam. Remember her? Evil Connie Britton? Friday Night Lights would have been a totally different show with her. Your team sucks, coach. And so do you. Also, it's high school football. Who cares? You know what I say? Dumb eyes, fat hearts can lose. I'm out of wine. But credit to Fox News, who will not hesitate to fire a host who peddles dangerous conspiracy theories as long as they're not Sean Insanity. Because Hannity will probably end his show tonight telling people that snorting Advil is both a cure for coronavirus and erectile dysfunction. And after that, they'll give him a raise. Great stuff with the Advil tonight, Sean. Where'd it come from? Would you believe I pulled it out of my ass? That ass of yours, Sean, it is a bottomless gold mine. Keep up the great work. Now, in the time Trump was dismissing the virus and claiming it would go away, he was repeatedly warned by intelligence briefings that this was a real threat. And in that time, the Washington Post reported his administration was beset by 70 days of denial, delays, and dysfunction. 70 days! And that's charitable, because for Trump, you could say it's been 70 years of dysfunction. When he was born, the doctor spanked him on the butt to hear him cry, and instead, Trump called him nasty and served him with a lawsuit.
There's an expression I use, wah. Some people say I invented it.
That's baby Trump. In a normal world, a story about a 70-day delay in the face of a pandemic would be cause for impeachment or removal, or at the very least, embarrassment and shame. But the president insisted that April would be the magic date, so we could all just look forward to that. So let's check in on his daily mini-MAGA rally in the White House briefing room on Saturday to see how that prediction is working out.
This will be probably the toughest week between this week and next week. And there'll be a lot of death, unfortunately, but a lot less death than if this wasn't done. But there will be death.
There will be death? It's kind of a 180. Everything was going to be fine, and now you sound like the captain of the wrestling team who just saw a nerd dancing with his girlfriend. There will be death! It's a beer can. What happened to April?
It's become clear now that the end date we had been promised was, in fact, an April Fool's joke pulled on us by the virus. So now we know Corona to be both highly contagious as well as mischievous in spirit. A Loki, if you will.
Now, you might hear that new tone and think, oh, I guess the president, like any decent human being, has admitted he was wrong, made amends by doing everything he can to rectify the situation, and apologized. And if you are thinking that, congratulations on waking up from your 3.5-year coma. But bad news, there's this thing called coronavirus. Anyway, your doctor will tell you. Because, as usual, Trump insisted that he was right when he said the virus would simply go away.
If you look at those individual statements, they're all true. Stay calm. It will go away. You know it is going away. And it will go away.
The president was saying this was going to go away. It's April.
It is going to go away.
But this president, you said it was going to go away in April. You said when it warmed up in April.
I said it's going away, and it is going away.
Yeah, very clever. After all, April still has 24 days left, and it's already down to, 337,000 cases? And you did. You literally said it goes away in April. That's as close to specific as Trump ever gets. Usually when you ask him a question, he waves it away like a dad promising his kids a trip to Disneyland while watching football. Dad, will we have universal health care?
Yeah, it's going to be so easy. It's going to be a blast. Now go upstairs and oil your hair before dinner.
And then last week, the media fell for his fake somber Trump shtick and asked him if his thinking had changed from when he said the virus would go away in April.
Is there any fairness to the criticism that you may have lulled Americans into a false sense of security when you were saying things like it's going to go away?
Well, it is.
And that sort of thing. But
Jim, it's going away.
But when you were saying
it's going to go away, hopefully at the end of the month, and if not, it hopefully will be soon after that.
But hasn't your thinking on this evolved?
Jim, it is going away.
Hasn't your thinking on this evolved? You're taking it more seriously now.
I think from the beginning, my attitude was that we have to give this country... I know how bad it was. All you have to do is look at what was going on in China.
First of all, no, you didn't know how bad it was. You treated coronavirus like a high school baseball coach talking to a kid who just got hit by a line drive to the head. How many fingers am I holding up? 50? He's good to go! Get him back in there! Of course, his thinking hasn't evolved. He's barely evolved. I mean, look at him. He looks like one of those early tetrapods that crawled out of the water and learned how to walk on land, but then he didn't learn how to hunt or fish, so he ended up just walking around in circles like a dude waiting for a crosstown bus.
Anyone know when the M15 is coming? Canceled? Why? Because of coronavirus, but it's April.
So Trump insists he was right when he said it would go away possibly by the end of this month. Now, you could either believe him or you could believe Bill Gates.
Well, this is a nightmare scenario because human-to-human transmissible respiratory viruses can grow exponentially. If we continue countrywide and we're testing the right people to understand what's going on, which is not the case yet, those numbers will start to go down. And then we can look at some degree of opening back up. Things won't go back to truly normal until we have a vaccine that we've gotten out to basically the entire world.
So there you go. Who are you going to believe? The pioneer of the microcomputer revolution who founded Microsoft and is currently working on ending polio and malaria? Or the guy who once tweeted, Victoria's Secret reps were nasty to Kate Upton and now she's doing great? That tweet is from 2013. And while I don't know what it's about, I am genuinely, genuinely curious and I intend to do some Google investigating as soon as this pandemic is over. Also, why were you commenting on that? Is that what you used to spend your time on before you became president? Mr. Trump, we're ready to shoot The Apprentice.
Yeah, quiet. I'm taking sides in Upton v. Secret.
And now, in part, because the president waved away the problem for 70 days, we're facing both an unimaginable tragedy and also an economic collapse that has already resulted in the worst weekly jobless claims numbers we've ever seen. And yet, Americans are still having trouble accessing government benefits. Just take this story from the New York Times about one applicant who sought jobless benefits and was told to find a fax machine. Some attempts to apply for benefits yielded a pop-up message that suggested using Netscape, a browser that effectively no longer exists. One applicant said he was taken aback to hear he had to find a fax machine to complete his claim. My God, it's 2020 in the richest country on earth. But if you need government benefits, you have to go on an early 90s treasure hunt. Hey guys, I found a clue. If financial aid you wish to get, find yourself a gigapet. They have to use Netscape and fax machines. What if they want to apply in person? Do they have to go to a Hollywood video? Great. Okay, thank you for this. Now, the last thing you need to do before you collect your benefits is watch this VHS copy of Gremlins. That will be followed by a short quiz, just so, you know, we're sure you understand the Gremlin rules in regards to, you know, sunlight, water, you know, when's a safe time to feed them. That's a Gremlin bit that I would not have done if we were in the studio. But this is not some accident of history. There's a reason you can get a package of alcohol wipes from Amazon in 48 hours, but to apply for unemployment benefits from the government, you have to download MS-DOS. The reason is that billionaires and corporations have hollowed out our public infrastructure with the help of corporate ghouls in the political establishment. Now, companies like Amazon are more powerful than our decrepit federal government. In fact, our sadistic President Jigsaw over here won't even help the millions of people who still don't have health insurance get that insurance during a pandemic. One study found that uninsured Americans could be facing nearly $75,000 in medical bills if hospitalized for coronavirus. And yet Trump has refused to open a special enrollment period on the Obamacare marketplace for people to buy health insurance. Now, to be clear, if you had insurance through your job and lost it, you can buy insurance on the Obamacare marketplace. This is for people who were uninsured that, if they were to get sick, could be ruined financially. And Donald Trump knows a thing or two about being ruined financially because, remember, he's done it like six times. He's gone bankrupt so many times, he's close to getting a free sub. And that will mean the world to him. And yet, sadly, Trump lost the part of his brain responsible for empathy years ago when he tried to squeeze himself into a golf cart and bumped his head on the roof.
I'm going to give you all bonuses because every life is precious and everyone deserves to be happy. Ow! Oh! Also, if you ever need a ventilator, go yourself!
So last week, when he was asked why he wouldn't reopen the Obamacare exchange, he turned the question over to Mike Pence and then bragged that Pence had found a way to talk for 5 minutes without answering the question.
Could you tell us what the rationale was behind that decision what you have as an alternative?
Okay, they took that up under the task force and maybe Mike, you want to say a few words about that?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And what I can tell you is that the president has made a priority from the outset of our task force work to make sure every American knows that they can have a coronavirus and they don't have to worry about the cost. We're inspired by the spirit of American businesses. Grocery stores made a commitment to the president a month ago that no grocery store in America would close down. The food supply is strong. We're getting food on the table of every American.
I think it's one of the greatest answers I've ever heard, because Mike was able to speak for 5 minutes and not even touch your question.
No,
I said that's what you call a great professional.
Professional liar. That's what you call a great professional liar. And it is true, man. Pence is great at looking grave and solemnly shaking his head and talking in hushed tones and acting like he's the president in a low-budget miniseries about an asteroid headed towards Earth. Mr. President, what are you going to do to stop the asteroid?
I can assure you that we are doing everything in our power to make sure Americans can still buy essential groceries like Doritos and Pop-Tarts.
What does that have to do with the asteroid, Mr. President? Pop-Tarts are the quintessential American meal, first introduced in the 1960s by... Also, think about how much of a sociopath you have to be to brag that you didn't answer a question about whether Americans can get health care during a pandemic. I know, I'm not a psychologist, but if someone gets on my subway car wearing a newspaper hat and carrying a soiled teddy bear, I don't think, oh, cool, another businessman headed to Wall Street. Trump's like a public defender sitting next to his client during a murder interrogation saying, notice how he hasn't confessed yet? I mean, and this guy right here, he loves to brag. Real sicko. Hey, tell him how you secretly write your name in your victim's diary. What? Be quiet. You couldn't stop talking about it earlier. Oh, I'm sorry. Now it's a secret. So if we won't even offer millions of Americans basic health insurance during a deadly pandemic, what is Trump offering? Well, like a true huckster, he's selling them an unproven medication that's still in clinical trials, telling people to try it, even though it could have dangerous side effects before it's approved by actual medical professionals.
And I hope they use the hydroxychloroquine, and they can also do it with Z-Pak, subject to your doctor's approval and all of that. But I hope they use it because I'll tell you what do you have to lose? There's a possibility. And I say it, what do you have to lose? I'll say it again, what do you have to lose? Take it. I really think they should take it, but it's their choice. And it's the doctor's choice or the doctors in the hospital. But hydroxychloroquine, try it if you'd like.
Jesus. We've been calling Trump a snake oil salesman for years, and now he's literally standing at a podium trying to sell us a miracle cure. They call it hydroxychloroquine. And let me tell you, folks, it's a genuine all-purpose miracle cure. Hey, you, sir, you look like you want to say something. Yes, I tried it, and both my acne and my coronavirus went away. And you and I have never met, sir. So there you have it, folks. There you have it. What have you got to lose? By the way, you know Trump and his buddies own stock in hydroxychloroquine because it's a six-syllable word, and he didn't stumble on it once. Of course, it makes sense that a lifelong con artist like Trump would push another miracle cure. I mean, this is the same guy who sold people scam vitamin supplements based on a urine test, not made up, a real thing. How would you even tailor vitamins based on someone's urine anyway? By sniffing it?
Smells like you're eating too much asparagus? Here, try some beef pills. They're just tiny meatballs.
Now, obviously, it would be terrific news if a genuine antiviral medication was proven successful in clinical trials. And we're all hoping that happens as soon as possible. But it is dangerous to go on TV and tell people to just try a medication before that medication is proven safe and effective. And yet, Trump is doing it anyway because he's already failed to supply other life-saving equipment, like ventilators. This very moment, states are fighting each other in a perverse bidding war with a total lack of federal leadership. And the point man in charge of the ventilator disaster is Trump's own personal Tom Wamsgans. Jared Kushner, everybody's favorite Botox 9-year-old. You know, the real-life Jack Skellington, the fellow who's always lurking in the background of every White House photo like a stalker who suddenly appears in the mirror when you close your medicine cabinet. The only guy in the world who creeps out Stephen Miller.
Jared! Don't frighten me like that, Jared. Don't creep on a creeper.
Over the last few days, Trump has openly admitted that New York may not have enough ventilators to save lives and called the federal government just a backup, while Kushner insisted the national stockpile doesn't belong to states.
Governor Cuomo is saying that New York may be days away from running out of ventilators. Can you assure New York that going into next week that they're going to have the ventilators that they're going to need?
No, they should have had more ventilators at the time. They should have had more ventilators. We happen to think that he's well-served with ventilators. We're going to find out. And we're a backup. Remember, we're a backup.
And the notion of the federal stockpile was it's supposed to be our stockpile. It's not supposed to be state stockpiles that they then use.
Oh, that makes sense. It's like my doorman told me. The front door belongs to the building. It's not for the people in the apartments. If you want to go to work so bad, climb down the fire escape. Seriously, it's your stockpile? Are you writing your name on them like you're leaving your lunch in the office fridge? Guys, come on. Who ate half my burrito? I have my name on it. And who crossed out Kush and wrote douche? Guys, Kush and douche, they don't even rhyme. I know it's a near rhyme, Janet. I thought you were better than near rhymes. All right? They're not yours, they're ours. The sniveling weasel thinks everything belongs to him because he was born into a rich family just like his father-in-law. I'm shocked we haven't seen something called a Kushnilator pop up on Craigslist. What we're seeing right now is a feeble government hollowed out by billionaires and corporations and run by a lifelong scam artist abdicating federal leadership and leaving states and courageous healthcare workers to fend for themselves. One lesson we're all learning from this is that, generally speaking, it's better not to be governed by sociopaths. And the day they finally leave office will be a
beautiful date to look forward to.
This has been A Closer Look.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Our guest is a senator from the state of California and a former presidential candidate. Please welcome back to the show, Senator Kamala Harris.
Hi, Seth.
How are you, Senator? Thank you so much for making the time for us.
Of course.
We were talking for a second right before we started. You did not go home to California, where I assume you would be happier and more comfortable. You stayed in D.C. Yeah. What led you to make that decision?
We need to work on the next bill. That last bill, $2 trillion, it provided some relief, but it really is inadequate to meet the needs of the 10 million people just last week who are now unemployed, the small businesses owners who need support so they can sustain their business, the hospitals that need masks and ventilators and support so that they can help support their workers and, you know, get childcare for them because they're coming to work every day, risking their own health for the safety of their community. So there's a lot of work to be done. And so I'm here and, you know, we're having marathon phone conferences to work on the substance of the next bill, but we need to get back to it and get another bill passed.
Congress is sort of known for taking a good amount of recesses, but a recess during a pandemic seems sort of outside the bounds of good reason. Are you surprised right now that Mitch McConnell does not have the Senate in session?
Frankly, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I know I speak to my colleagues. We have extensive phone conferences about the substance of the work that needs to be accomplished, and in particular, what needs to be in the next bill. But we need to vote. We need to convene so we can actually vote on something that then will provide actual relief to the people who need it. Sitting around having conversations means nothing to the people who every day are trying to figure out how they're going to get through the end of the month and have the relief that they need to get through this crisis. And let's be clear, this is a national and international crisis that is born out of a public health crisis. So we need to address the public health needs of the people of our country, and we need to address the economic impact of the public health crisis.
You mentioned the $2 trillion bill that was passed. This was a bipartisan effort. It was one of those moments where it looked like everyone was coming together. The Democrats fought hard for oversight of this $2 trillion. Just today, the president fired the independent watchdog in charge of that. Are there any tools? Is there any recourse left for you? Or is this just another case of basically a good idea evaporating because of the president's actions?
Seth, I just have to say this. You know, this is that moment where the people of our country need their government to work. But Donald Trump came into office never understanding the role or the importance of government, especially as it relates to its three essential functions, one of which is public health. This is that moment where the American people should be able to count on the Commander-in-Chief and the President of the United States to speak truth, to embrace fact, to embrace science, and to be a leader, and a leader in a way that is about lifting the people up, both in terms of their needs and their spirits. But we have a president who goes on almost a nightly basis. You know, the only person that should be talking is Fauci. And it does not seem to understand the role and the responsibility he has to save lives.
One of the communities, or, you know, what we consider to read is not just how many communities are being hit, but that minority communities are being hit even harder by this. Is there anything to do as far as how to address that now? And more importantly, how to address what is at the root of that when this does come to pass? Because obviously this is baked into society, the fact that every time something goes wrong in this country, it does seem like communities of color are hardest hit.
Well, I mean, it's the least of these. Those who have always been at the short end of the stick in a moment of crisis, it becomes even more evident, and in this case, even more fatal. So we've long had, just historically, because of a number of issues that are about systemic and institutional racism and just inequities across the board in terms of bringing resources equally in a way that is equitable, not just equal, but equitable. And so you see the disparities based on race in healthcare, economic disparities, educational disparities on the point of healthcare. African Americans, 20% more likely to have asthma, 40% more likely to have high blood pressure. Black women are three times more likely than white women to have lupus, which is an autoimmune disease. Sickle cell anemia, of any kind of respiratory illness or virus, can be lethal in proportion to those who have sickle cell anemia. So what we are seeing is all of that coupled with a lack of resources in those communities where people of color and poor people live just exasperates what was a pre-existing disparity. But this is a moment where we can actually think about how we structurally and systemically improve these systems. One of the things I've been calling for is that the federal government needs to collect the data about the disparities as it has affected these communities in terms of the coronavirus, COVID-19, and what we need in terms of resources in those communities. The federal government should be tracking this so we can deploy the resources where they're needed. And that, frankly, is one of the biggest problems, is that the president has not been appropriately deploying resources. Let's talk about the Defense Production Act. Which he was slow to deal with and still has not done it as it relates to tests, as it relates to masks. Just an utter lack of leadership, utter lack of leadership.
We appreciate it.
Let me just say something. That is why elections matter, because these are those moments in time when we need our elected leaders to lead. We need people in those offices who understand that their role there is not about taking care of themselves, it's about taking care of others. It's the nobility of public service. It's about the importance and the integrity of holding these offices in the public trust. And we have a person in the White House who doesn't get it.
When we come back, I want to talk to you more about elections, in particular what's happening in Wisconsin today, and also just how you are spending time like most Americans who are stuck indoors. We'll be right back with more from Senator Kamala Harris. We're back with Senator Kamala Harris. So the Supreme Court decided yesterday that Wisconsin had to go ahead with their primary as scheduled today. So now you have a situation that during a pandemic, people are going in public. We've already seen photos of long lines where, you know, people are exercising their right to vote, but also wearing masks and trying to stay 6 feet away from other voters. You know, I think there's both a core fear about what that means about today, but also what it means about our election in November. Can you talk about the Supreme Court's ruling first, and then I have a follow-up I want to ask about November.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Supreme Court's ruling in 2013 in Shelby v. Holder when they gutted the Voting Rights Act. Let's talk about the fallout of that, which is that two dozen states almost passed laws immediately through their state legislatures that were designed to prohibit or to interfere with people's right to exercise the right to vote. In North Carolina, a court of appeal, when reviewing that state legislature's law, said that the law was designed with, quote, surgical precision to prevent Black voters from voting. And so what we saw in Wisconsin in terms of the Supreme Court ruling is just more of the same, which is a failure to appreciate the importance of every person having equal access to the polls and exercising their right in the Constitution, their constitutional right to vote. And so what's happened in Wisconsin, God love those people who are standing in those lines. They are committed, but we should not make it so difficult for people to vote that only the most committed should vote. For a democracy to work, it means that everyone's voice counts. And
no, obviously,
that's not what we're saying.
We have there are a couple states that do have vote from home. It seems to work pretty well.
Right.
You know, there is this chance. We don't know where we're going to be in November. We don't know how social distancing rules will be in play then. Is it important, if there is any other stimulus voted on, to start putting in language that protects the right for people to vote come November? Because there's certainly nothing we've seen from this administration that would lead you to believe that they will not try to make it harder for people to vote.
Yeah, well, you're exactly right. I have a bill along with many other senators, a bipartisan bill, to improve the elections infrastructure of the states, to strengthen them against foreign interference. Bipartisan support in the United States Senate. McConnell will not put it on the floor for a vote, and we believe it's because the White House doesn't want it. So we need to protect the right for folks to vote and make it as easy as possible. I believe that voting by mail is one part of the solution. We do have to deal with the fact, though, that when you again talk about race, you will find that that there are certain populations, particularly African-American voters, that do not participate as much when we're talking about vote by mail. So we have to put resources into encouraging that to happen. But we have got to make sure that this election in November has integrity and that everyone who has so much at stake participates, because the outcome of this election is going to have generational impact.
I want to now move on to lighter fare.
Okay.
I have heard tell that you have used your time at night to watch a Tiger game. Is that true?
Yeah, we got sucked into it.
And
what
a hot
mess.
Yeah, no, it is nice every now and then to realize some things were hot messes before Corona hit.
Right, or at least by contrast, yeah.
Yes. Did you, as a former prosecutor, how did you feel the investigation of Carole Baskin was handled?
You know, often what prosecutors will say is that there's a big difference between knowing what happened and proving what happened. I would suggest that we probably need more evidence to prove what happened to her husband. You know, where is he? Hasn't he seen the show? And why isn't he coming forward at this point?
Did at any point it make you think to yourself, we should get a big game cat for the house? Have you thought that?
No, I mean, I'm just trying to feed my husband every day.
How is the cooking going? How is, because of course
it's
that is
coming along really well. But, okay, you know, good. It's coming along well.
You guys share the duties? I know he took a cooking
class. I had a conversation with my mother-in-law about why didn't she actually make her son clean his room more often.
That happened here
so,
too.
Yeah, we are splitting up. Saturdays have become chores day. And so now we have divided up cooking, and he cooks Wednesday and Saturday.
I think this is a time, I don't know about you, but I actually have, one of the few silver linings is reconnecting with people, both like this and via phone. And you think it's important, right? Like now, especially when you think about our older population, now more than ever is a really good time to reach out, wouldn't you say?
It really is. And Seth, you know, nothing can replace the sound of laughter. Like reading LOL, it doesn't work these days. I find myself picking up the phone and calling people much more often. Let's remember our single friends and our friends and relatives and neighbors who are seniors, because this, you know, what I've been saying is that this is a requirement. There's a requirement of social isolation, but let's make sure we're not engaging in emotional isolation. People are literally alone right now, and it's so important that people don't feel alone. And that's why connecting with each other and just sharing a laugh, even a 5-minute call, it really does make a difference. And we're going to get through this. But unlike some of the other tragedies that we've experienced, the isolation part of this is something that is going to have, I think, a real effect if we don't work at making sure no one feels alone.
Well, I certainly appreciate you making me feel a little bit less isolated today. Thank you for your time, as always, Senator. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.